Hope your head's bopping along with me, Dom, and Cardi. It is Monday at 3:30 here on the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media, and that means it's time for Dom Salvi and I to chop it up. You can find Dom every Monday through Friday right after this fine program on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom, welcome back. Always nice to have you, my friend.
Be with you. Thank you for having me. Happy Monday to you and Cardi as well.
As we have started to call this little segment, in case you missed it with Dom and Maggie, we got to just hop right in there and we're going to take a little bit of sound. Folks, you are always welcome to join Dom and I as we chop it up and have some fun on Mondays. Everybody needs a little fun on Mondays. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Phones and text lines are open, but let's just jump right in with both feet, friend,
all right,
as they say. Cardi, let's hit it with cut number two.
Give me 1 second, guys.
No problem. We can do a little bit more head bopping, right?
That was some great music. I love it, man.
That was like, give me some more of that. Cardi, you give me a thumbs up when you are ready roll. Here we go.
We're scared. Last Thursday, we expressed our own concerns on this broadcast and even said we would appreciate the opportunity to speak with the president-elect himself. On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. My father often spoke with world leaders with whom he and the United States profoundly disagreed. That's a task shared by reporters and commentators alike. We had not spoken to President Trump since March of 2020, other than a personal call Joe made to Trump on the morning after the attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful, he was upbeat, he seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking why we would go speak to the...
Why?
Yeah. Cardi, do we have it? Is that where I had you cut it off?
Yeah, that's where the cut is off. Yep.
Okay. So the why here was a little bit interesting. I'll just summarize, Dom, in case you didn't get to listen to their whole, like, 10-minute dialogue about this. So it was a close election, so he's clearly going to need to compromise. And since our country is 50-50, compromise is going to be a thing. And then last but not least, we're open to working with him if he's open to working with us, because this is not war, it's work. And we have a job as journalists. I mean, it went on and on for a while. They eventually brought out journalist David Ignatius, and the conversation continued for some time. Obviously, I'm not going to give that multiple more minutes. Yeah. Wow. Your reactions, Dom. I mean, my reaction.
I mean, thank you, media. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, this is work. Yeah, it's definitely work. We want to work with him. He's going to work. What does that even mean? You're covering him. He says things, you call balls or strikes. You report the news, report the facts. Didn't this guy, like, accuse Joe of murder? You know what I'm saying?
And yes.
Doesn't he talk about Mika's, you know, plastic surgery and being a dumb blonde kind of a thing? I mean, really, this is, you're just going to go in and just shake hands like this is totally fine. I mean, I struggle a little bit, Maggie, because of course there has to be some coverage of the man that's going to involve sitting down and having conversations. But why did you not do it on the air? What is this little private conversation? Oh, that's so cute. No, I saw it this morning, and I saw the headlines of it, and I read a little bit. Didn't listen to it because my initial reaction was disgust.
I was so shocked by it, and there has been one of the, I think, very real criticisms of what I'm going to call traditional media outlets on the left and the right, as well as legacy media in print, is this idea of access journalism, mm-hmm. where journalists go easy on candidates and what I'm going to call tier one marquee interviewees in exchange for the maybe future possibility that they might maybe someday also get an interview again. Because journalists need the subject of their journalism to engage in this kind of back and forth, right? And so the allegation that has been leveled is that in order to keep a Barack Obama or a Donald Trump or a Kamala Harris or a Senator Baldwin like coming back on your programs, you have to treat them with kid gloves and sort of nod and smile along. And I think that is fundamentally a problem. I think that is what has allowed politicians on both sides, but especially on the right, to continuously flood airwaves full of nonsensical, unfact-checked garbage. I played sound from a local news interview with Ron Johnson. I'll give the journalist credit for seeking clarity and asking some follow-up questions to get him clearly and unequivocally on the record that he supports recess appointments without any kind of limitation. And secondly, that he's basically an anti-vaxxer and has no concerns about RFK. Like, bravo for getting that clear responses from the senator, but shame on you for not checking the senator on the air. I had to do so after I played the clip because I don't want the nonsense going out there. So I looked at this and I just thought, wow. And the other thing that I thought was a point that you have heard me make in forums before, Dom. And that was this: boy, it must be really nice to be able to have that sort of access so that you can watch the president-elect be all positive and excited and like giddy and put a nice little spin on it and be hosted at Mar-a-Lago. Regular people aren't doing that. Let's remind ourselves who Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, and David Ignatius are. Mika Brzezinski's father was the national security advisor to Jimmy Carter. Her mother was the grandniece of Czechoslovakia's former president. Okay? Her dad was a professor at Columbia. Her brother is an American diplomat and the U.S. ambassador to Sweden from 2011 to 2015. Okay? Oh, and from 2022 has been the ambassador to Poland. Joe Scarborough, he was named as the 2011 one of Time's 100 most influential people in the world. He's a former representative, a Republican from Florida. Let's see. He received a 95% lifetime rating from the American Conservative Union. How'd that work for you, Joe? Well, and he also sponsored a bill to force the U.S. to withdraw from the U.N. in a four-year transition. Oh, he also wanted to defund PBS. That's Joe Scarborough, okay? David Ignatius was literally born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And his dad was a former Secretary of the Navy and the president of the Washington Post, okay? He went to St. Albans, which is like one of the most prestigious prep schools in the D.C. area. And then he went to Harvard, okay? I point all of this out to say, wow. Again, nice for you all. It was nice for Steve Scafidi at the forum a few weeks ago before the election to say, hey, everybody, you know, when you call your elected official or you send them a postcard, they just ignore that. What you need to do is get on a plane and go to Washington, D.C. and show up in their office. Yeah. My response to Steve was the same as my response this morning. Must be nice to have infinite time, resources, access, and that sort of privilege that you can trade on to make your careers work well. In media, Scafidi's the former mayor of Oak Creek. Like, come on. And I say that with some full embrace of like, yeah, I've had some cool jobs, but for the record, I went to every single one of my degrees. I basically got on a full ride scholarship. Like I made my way. All of this just left me with a big amount of ew.
It's pretty gross. And thank you for, you know, articulating the backgrounds of the folks we're talking about. George Carlin said it's a big club and you ain't in it. And we ain't in it. I mean, I'm not in it. I don't know what the hell these people are talking about. I would say a couple of things, Maggie. The journalism thing. You don't need the subject of your journalism to respond to you. You know, you can talk to people around them. I mean, there's a lot of journalism you can do, and a lot of times the subject of the journalism won't talk to you. So I understand you got to have access, you want access, and you rightly point out that is always a thing. You got to have if you piss too many people off, they're not going to invite you into the press gaggle. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to get you your press pass. So those are real things. I don't know that that's going to change ever, but I just my problem is that these folks, if you talk about this, is, you know, how can you go from 10 days ago saying this man is the biggest threat to democracy we've ever had, talk about all the things he's going to do, and then just, oh yeah, we went and just had the private thing and we didn't agree with him, but you know, he was really happy, and so here, and it seems to me like this whole thing that they were doing was trying to like explain and justify it. And I just think to myself, well, you didn't do any journalism. Yes. You reporting after the fact of how great of a mood he was in isn't putting him on camera and you calling his ass out for calling you a murderer, Joe, and telling him to defend your statements that he is a threat to democracy. How about some of that?
I couldn't agree with you more. And not just the privilege, not just where these folks come from, not just the like positive vibes that they're trading for possible future access. I'm just going to say the quiet part out loud that maybe many of you are thinking, staring at your radio. Maybe you're even yelling at your radio like, Maggie and Dom, why don't you just say it? Is this, what do they call it? Anticipatory obedience? When like the dictator is, when the Führer is about to take over, you get afraid of engaging directly and you're trying to curry favor. Maybe they're a little bit worried about Brendan Carr, who's going to lead up the FCC, who posted on Twitter, broadcast media, I've had the privilege of using a scarce and valuable public resource, our airwaves. In turn, they are required by law to operate in the public interest. When the transition is complete, the FCC will enforce this public interest obligation. Maybe you're reacting to that a little bit.
Well, if that's the case, then react as a journalist then, and be mad about it and push back against it and support the Fourth Estate and the freedom of the press. Are you concerned about, you know, being the enemy of the people? Are you concerned about your FCC license being taken at whim? Then you should be yelling that from the rooftops. You should be getting in his face about it, talking to their appointees who would suggest such a thing just because you might not like the content. You know what I'm saying? You can't just go after people because you don't like them. And that's certainly what this administration seems like they want to do.
Folks, we're going to take care of a little business. You get your last shots in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. When we come back, I'm going to tell Dom the third reason why this bothered me so damn much to hear this on Monday morning. We'll have that sound, Dom's reaction, and yours when we come back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.